Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. And Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. So what we have been doing is going through what is repentance, godly repentance. Not just the sorrow of the world because you feel you did something bad and you want to apologize. Repentance is much more than that. Now, we've covered examining ourselves with the first four commandments. The first one being, you shall have no other gods before me. The second one being, you shall not make any image of any likeness of anything in heaven above or on the earth and bow down to it. And the third one is, don't take God's name in vain. And then the fourth one, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now that's very interesting because this is something we are to remember and not forget. And as we saw, it was not just for the Jews, but all people everywhere. And if everyone kept the Sabbath, the world would be a much different place. But since the world doesn't do that, and God is calling those who will come to Him in repentance. And repentance means that you stop sinning, because sin is a transgression of the law. Sin is not just doing what you may think is not good or what you may think is bad, but sinning, as defined by God, is measured against the Ten Commandments. And when you repent, it has to be from the heart. And you have to go to a quiet, private place so you can get on your knees and confess your sins to God. You don't confess them to a priest. A priest cannot forgive your sins. Only God can. Now, in Joel, the second chapter, here's what God wants with repentance, measured by all the Ten Commandments we will cover some more of the Ten Commandments in just a bit. But when we come to God in prayer, in a quiet private place, we confess our sins to Him. Now, why is that important? Because if you try and confess them to a priest, you know you're not going to tell him everything. But when you come before God, God knows your heart and your mind and your thoughts. So you can confess them directly to Him so that you may receive forgiveness. But here's the kind of repentance that God wants. He doesn't want it just sort of a ritual thing that you say, oh God, I've sinned, forgive me. No, He wants you to enumerate the sins. He wants you to see what they are compared to His laws and commandments and word. And He wants you to come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and wanting God's mercy and forgiveness, and so that you can turn around and start going God's way. But here's how we need to come. Joel 2 and verse 12, therefore, even now, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. Verse 13, yes, and rend your heart and not your garments and return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and He repents of the evil that has come upon you. Now let's go to Romans, the second chapter. Let's see something else that's important. When you repent, and you repent the way that God wants you to repent, then something happens. And when you repent with the resolve that you will no longer be sinning those sins, and you will not be living in sin, then here's what happens. Romans 2 and verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his kindness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the graciousness of God leads you to repentance? And repentance is stop sinning, confess them to God for forgiveness, and start living according to the commandments of God. Now, that's what God wants. And we'll see another thing a little later. This is not the place for it, but it is this. Commandment keeping comes with grace, because only through the grace of God can we keep the commandments the way that He desires. So let's come back here to Exodus 20. Where the Ten Commandments were spoken by God to all 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now today, a lot of people like to say, well, that's the Jews. No, it's not. It is actually for all people. And if you read Genesis, the fourth chapter, you will see that the laws were in effect from the beginning. So let's come to Exodus 20, and we're at the fifth commandment now, which is, honor your father and your mother. And we will see that's not just when you are a child, but that goes on down through all of your life in relation to your mother and father's life. And even when they're old, you have to honor them and help them. And yes, in many cases, take care of them. And remember when you do, when you were a wee little baby and you had to be taken care of and everything about you had to be done by your mother and your father, they took care of you. So you've got to look back and remember, yes, they took care of me. Now also, let's read it here. There's a blessing that comes with obeying this commandment. And God is not a respecter of persons, and this applies to anyone in the world anywhere who will honor father and mother. Let's read it. So that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now think about that. Everyone wants to live as long as they can, right? No one's marching up and saying, oh, take my life, Lord, I don't want my life. Now there may be some in desperation may say that, but that's not true. Everyone wants to live as long as they can. And God gives a promise. Now look at what happens to children, because with this commandment, it involves, number one, God, because He made us. Father and mother, number two, and you. And all the other brothers and sisters as well. Now why is this important? Because this is the first stabilizing key in having a decent society. It's not talking about conversion here. Although later, that may come into it. This is talking about everybody in the world. And everyone wants to live long, right? But it just doesn't work out that way many times, because the world is so evil. They are against God. Now then, come to the book of Proverbs. Now, the book of Proverbs is very important for you to understand because it's written for young people on how they are to live their lives. And this is important also now for the parents, because this commandment works both ways. God to parents, God to children, parents to children, children to God. So it's all kind of a big sphere of interlocking relationships. And when we're born, we know absolutely nothing. And so God has given the care and teaching to the father and mother of the children. And when they reach a certain age, now then, God's instruction directly to them. Because now, as children are getting older, they become more and more responsible for what they do, what they say, what they think, and how they react. And all of that comes full circle back to honoring your father and mother. So here in Proverbs, the first chapter, here's what every child wants. But how many are willing to get it from the Word of God? The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Now, all kids want to be smart, right? Well, you can be smart if you study the Proverbs. Now, we have a whole study pack of Proverbs for preteens and teens that they can go through and really, really learn right and wrong, good and evil, what to do, what not to do. And all the way through is honoring father and mother and obeying God. Verse 3, to receive instruction of wisdom, righteousness, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple. Now, the simple are the ones who are uneducated. Doesn't mean you're dumb. And so this is an educational process that God wants for all children contained in the book of Proverbs. Knowledge and discretion to the young man. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and its interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Now, all of that is a great education, and many of the institutions of the world today try and give a great education, but they don't use the book of Proverbs. Now, they may study the philosophers, but remember, all the great philosophers of the past set the stage for the future, and look at what a mess it has been. So the Word of God is superior to all the studies in philosophy, because the Word of God tells us what to do, what not to do, how to know God, how to love Him, how to love our neighbors and our family, to honoring your father and mother. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, why do you have to fear a God of love? Well, if you love God, you'll keep His commandments. But you will always fear of breaking the commandments, because that's what brings the trouble on people. Okay? So you fear God. And that relates to all of the other of the rest of the commandments. The other five after honoring father and mother. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now think of it this way. If you're unwilling to listen to the word of God, which is wisdom and instruction, the Bible says you're a fool. Huh. And look at all the foolish, stupid things that young people do that who don't know anything about God. So all of this has to do with keeping the fifth commandment of honoring your father and mother. Now notice verse 8. My son, now this is David talking to Solomon. Hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of your mother. Write that down, make note of it, so that you, as you are growing up, will know what you need to do. And God expects you to obey your father and your mother, and their primary interest is what? Your well-being and your safety. So keep that in mind. Don't let your free moral agency of self-will and rebellion against your parents make you to go out and do things contrary to the word of God, and you destroy your life. Think about how many teenagers have destroyed their lives because they wouldn't listen to father or mother or teacher or minister. Huh? The landscape is strewn with them.
Bro, move!
Get me out! Get me out! Get me out. Get me out. Get me out.
Yeah.
I'm not taking any
of
those.
Blah, 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 blah.
My daughter, Ashlyn, is out of control.
They kicked you out since
Monday. Ashlyn is the most disrespectful child I know.
She's so manipulative and narcissistic.
She is verbally abusive. She calls me. We literally cannot keep her at home.
Ashlyn used to sneak out through the window, and now she just leaves.
I've gone into her room at 5 a.m. This is her room, and she's not here. We don't know where she is. We were driving home. She asked to go somewhere. I told her she couldn't. She started raging, and she punched me in my face.
We wrote out a contract.
She needed to abide by a curfew, go to bed on time, go to school, no drinking, no cigarettes. Ashlyn refused to sign the contract. She has broken every rule.
Now then it says, for there shall be an ornament of grace to your head and chains about your neck. It's going to be a real protection for you. Then it gives a warning, because this warning is necessary. Now think about this in relationship to honoring your father and mother and obeying them. What do you do when you get away from father and mother? And all teenagers do this, right? You do what your father and mother said not to do. Isn't that true? Now, you may not get yourself in trouble immediately, but if you keep on that path, you will. How many have gotten into drugs? How many have gotten into car wrecks? How many have gotten into sexual immorality? All of those things and the rest of the Ten Commandments come right back here to this. What are you going to do with your life? If they say, come with us, let us wait for blood. We will watch secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Cast your lot among us and let us have one purse. A gang. Huh. Did you ever think that the Bible would talk about teenagers and gangs? And that's exactly what they do. Look at New York. Look at Baltimore. Look at Chicago. Look at St. Louis. Look at all the major cities on the West Coast. All of those involved in those activities of gangs, of burning, of looting, are all talked about right here. Now then, that dishonors your father and your mother and you. Now, sometime because of father and mother, you as a teenager, you have to make your own choice. And that's why studying the book of Proverbs will help keep you out of trouble. Because it says, verse 15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep back your foot from their path. Don't let them say, well, you're a coward. Why don't you come with us? Why don't you do this? You're dishonoring your father and mother. You're disobeying God. Because you see, one sin leads to another sin, which leads to another sin, which leads to great problems. And notice what it says. Because there will come a time that when they follow this way to go, or if you follow it to go, you may pass the point of no return. What will you do then? Why will you destroy your life by going against the command of God to honor your father and mother? For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed innocent blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of the bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They watch secretly for their own lives. And then it says you're going to come to a point that it's too late. And you will wish you hadn't done it, but there will be no way out. All because you chose to dishonor your father and mother. Now, it depends on what you want to do. And remember that honoring your father and mother is through the whole lifespan of however long they live. And then, when it happens to you, and you have children, and what are you going to see? Huh? The same cycle again, unless you turn to God. And that's what's important in this relationship of your repenting. Because the only way you understand your sin is that you know the laws of God. Starting with the Ten Commandments. And remember this, everything in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is based on the Ten Commandments, which have come straight from God to all mankind, and God has given his holy word, so that today almost every human being on earth can find the truth of God if they have a Bible. Now let's see what God says to you if you don't turn back from your sins. Verse 22, how long will you love simplicity, simple ones. Question, how long are you going to be stupid and rebellious, right? And that's against your mother and father and against God. And will scorners delight in their scorning? And will fools hate knowledge? Turn back at my reproof, that is through the word of God. Stop sinning. Behold, I will pour out my spirit to you, and I will make my words known to you, because I called, and you refused to hearken. The word of God is there calling you, don't do it. Don't do it. Listen to God. Follow him. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. But you have despised all my counsel and have none of my reproof. No repentance. The only way out of all of these things is true repentance. Now notice, I will also laugh at your calamity and I will mock when your fear comes. When your calamity comes like a storm. And isn't that true? Boom! All of a sudden, there's a lot of trouble. Tragedy. And your destruction comes like a whirlwind when trouble and pain come upon you. Then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? Because there's not real repentance, godly repentance from the heart. So that's why this commandment is so important. Continues on verse 29. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And that's where we started, right in the beginning of this chapter, isn't it? Yes, it is. They would have none of my counsel. They despised all my correction. Now, here's what's going to happen. If you don't honor your father and mother, and if you don't repent of rejecting that, and if you don't come to God and start following his word, because God holds you responsible. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Now, what about you? I want you to think about your life. And I want you to think about repenting to God and to your parents. Because honoring your father and mother is one of the most important things you need to do. And if you're still young, it will give you long life. That's a tremendous promise. Now you need our material. For baptism. Why it's necessary? Because you need to take the next step beyond repentance, which is baptism. And then you need the book, Why Were You Born? And the book, Lord, What Should I Do? Especially if you've got your life all messed up. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.